did it last week. I did it last week. Last week. Good morning, everybody. It's great to see everybody here this morning. If you would just pay some mind to these announcements that we have for you, just so you can see what's coming up in our community this.
Mark your calendar for Saturday, July 20th and Paul between 9 a.m. and 2 p.m. Visit redcrossblood.org to make your appointment. Be sure to enter RLCC and save a life. Our youth ministry, The Vine, is taking a trip to Lake Allatoona on Sunday, July 21st. Our youth group would love for you to join us on this great event. Contact Noah if you have any questions. Attention kids, 28th. After church out on the grass, our kids' party will be a blast. Free pizza lunch with splashing fun can be enjoyed by those who come. Enjoy with us a fun-filled day. Ride the train while bubbles fly. If you can't come, we might cry.
Intro, 2, 3, 4.
Into learning a place to hide this weary soul. It's back. But I just can't win the fight. I'm slowly drifting.
A vagabond. Ran out of road. I met a man I didn't know. And he told me that I was not alone. He turned me around and placed my feet on solid ground. I thank the Master, I thank the Savior.
'Cause he
came for every, I am not the same. I thank the Master, I thank the Savior, I thank God.
Like ashes in the wind, belong to my old friends. Burden and bitterness, you can just keep it moving. Now you ain't welcome here.
From now till I walk the streets of gold, I'll sing of how you saved my soul. This wayward son has found home. He picked me up, he turned me around. Place my feet on solid ground. I thank the Master of my heart. He changed my name, forever free. I am not the same. I thank the Master. I thank the Savior. I thank.
Hell lost the blood. I am free. Oh, 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 I am free.
Hell lost another one, I am free. Oh, I am. Hell lost another one, I am free. Oh, I am free.
Oh,
he picked me up. He turned me around solid ground. I thank the Master. I thank the Savior.
Because he
healed my heart. He changed my name. Forever free. I thank the Savior, I thank God.
Here this morning, we thank God every day for every day that he gives us. And today is a day that we can come and we can worship his name. So if you will, bow your heads in prayer with me. Dear God, thank you for our voices. We get to make a joyful noise, and we get to praise and worship you. Thank you so much for everybody that can be here today on this day that you've given us. And please be word, and later on we go about our week, and we be the church in your name. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
One, two, three, four.
your mercy never fails. Days I've been held by your hand. The moment that I wake up, until I, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God.
You all may be seated.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Here's my heart, Lord. Here's my heart. Here's my heart, Lord. Speak what is true. Here's my heart.
I have life.
conducting a blood drive. The Red Cross is in constant need of blood supply that they can keep on hand for victims of accidents or patients facing surgery. Well, have any of you ever donated blood before? It's hard. As a matter of fact, my son and I used to race to see who could bleed the fastest and fill the bag. Rewarding. Well, have any of you ever been the recipient of donated blood? If so, you probably have a much more serious on that particular day. A church friend of mine recently told me how his wife received dozens of units of blood during her miracle, that those people had donated blood that saved her life. Well, I've learned that not all blood is the same. As a matter of fact, there was a day or two I was born with a different blood type than I had. Blood is classified into types, A, B, AB, or O, and each type is either positive or has a protein called the Rh factor. Well, certain blood types, I've learned, are incompatible with each other and would cause a severe reaction. That's why the Red Cross is always eager to receive blood donations with type O negative, because that's the type that is compatible with everyone who needs it. People with O negative blood are called universal donors. Well, my friends, we're all, because of our sin, we each need a universal donor. And that's exactly what Jesus Christ became for us at the cross. The blood type that can wash away sins. And his blood is sufficient for all of the sins of all of the people. For there's never been and there will never be a shortage of supply of Jesus' blood that was shed on Calvary. Christ's blood is as powerful today. We need to allow the blood of Jesus to cleanse us from our sin. And let's all join together and praise God that our sins are gone forever. Dear God, thank you so much for this time that we can join together to worship you and to remember the sacrifice that you made, the blood that Jesus shed on the mess that I am for all of us. God, thank you for that gift in Jesus. And right now, as we take this communion, help us to remember and reflect the gift that you gave us in Jesus Christ. It's in his name we pray. Amen. This next part of our service is where I am so blessed. This room is air conditioned and it's beautiful, and we can come together and we can worship God in one room together that God has given us. This is the part of our worship service where we can give back just a part of what he's already given us. You can donate online, you can donate through a message, money, but it's about giving back to God just a part of how he has so greatly blessed us. So let's pray for our offering. God, thank you for this air conditioning. God, as we put our money together, I just pray that you would multiply it and turn it into souls saved. God, I just pray that you would take our money and multiply it into many. God, thank you for this opportunity to be a blessing to others. And please bless this offering that we give today. Thank you for this opportunity to worship. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Oh,
Good morning. Be here because it's air conditioned, right? It's pretty warm. And today we get to start a new series. Isn't that exciting? Gathering together on why we gather together. And so if you're here today, you're headed in the right direction already. You got it right. Gathering together is important. But I want to begin with a very simple question. What do you know about solitary confinement? What do you know about solitary confinement? Yeah, you heard it. Do you know anything about solitary confinement? It's interesting that segregation, they do that to be politically correct. It's often used in prisons as a way to further discipline unruly or dangerous inmates. Solitary confinement. It was a 2012 article published by the American Psychological Association. And here's what they reported. They said, deprived of many segregated prisoners reportedly suffer from mental health problems, including anxiety, panic, insomnia, paranoia, depression. And the article goes on to say this. Evidence of these effects come as no surprise. It bored. Do you think the government do have anything to do with common sense? But he goes on and says, it's common sense with a lot of empirical research that supports it. So in a social context. Now that's where I want to focus. So much of what we do and who we are is real. And we don't need empirical research or long drawn out studies to understand the adverse effects of being alone. I mean, we just came out of COVID not that long ago. Of course, some people thrived in COVID. You know, it's like, I like not being around people. But in return, we see that in the ones that never came back. And you talk to them, they didn't come back to church, and you talk to them like as much as 30 days ago, church, because they got used to not being at church. And that's hard. That's hard. And that there are adverse effects to being alone. And they are so severe that we impose it on criminals. Now think about that. If that's what we use to punish criminals, why have so many unwillingly chosen lives of isolation and to be cut off? I mean, I would love to figure this out. And I've beat my head in, and Leslie and I have this conversation a lot. What are we missing? Why are people choosing, you know, if so much of what we do and who we are is rooted in our social context, then who are we apart from those things? Who are we up with? What mental, physical, emotional, and spiritual benefits are we going to miss out on? Well, these questions. And I believe that gathering together is powerful. It is powerful, but more importantly, it's biblical. We here at Real Life Christian Church, we want to do things that are biblical. You came to church here because you want to live a biblical life, I hope. I believe that one of the most important reasons we gather together is the encouragement of one another. Time. Don't you need to be encouraged from time to time? Some of us desperately need it right now. Sometimes we need somebody kind in a nice way. The writer of Hebrews said it this way. It said, and let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another all the more as you see the day approaching. Now I've preached out of this scripture dozens of times in 20 years. I've been frustrated because people didn't come to church. But here's what I came to realize. I was preaching to the people at church. Makes sense. But you may have noticed from the passage that there's a reason that we encourage one another and spur on one another towards love and good deeds. And it is by gathering together. It's encouraging for me when you come to church. When you come to church, it's an encouragement to those around you, your friends, your family. But when you're not here, it's discouraging. Encourage yourself when you're all alone. How well did that turn out? I mean, it's difficult. Some people call it self-talk or positive, have access to others. But there is something deeply transformative and powerful about being part of a group committed to encouraging one another towards a favorite sports team. What if they didn't come together at practice and encourage one another? How well does a team that's fighting with each other play? Every group, they're there to encourage each other. Or the youth fundraiser for summer camp, like the yard sale we did. Man, that was some hard work. But we encouraged each other. Preaching my first sermon, and I had decided I was going to go to Bible college, and Jerry Edwards from the Poplar Creek Church of Christ in Grundy, Virginia. Now, if you don't know where, it's all downhill. And you get down there in the bottom, and it's deep in the coal mines. And Jerry, he sounded just like, he did, just exactly, he even looked like him to a certain degree. But Jerry invited me to come preach my first sermon there. So I did. And it lasted loud. And I mean, it was so good he had to come up and explain to everybody what I meant. You know. But here's the thing about Jerry. He invited me back. And I went. And the reason I didn't give up on preaching after that disaster was wonderful first sermon. Jerry took us to his house and they fed us supper and they talked to me and he was encouraging. Matter of fact, when they ordained me at Chill Howie, he drove the 2.5 hours to come to my ordination. He was an encouragement. Encouraged. You remember right after I came here, we did the Get On Board campaign? If you were here any length of time, where we were raising money to renovate this. Encouraging. Now, there were some who were not on board, but the encouragement of all the others happened to overshadow those that weren't than we were expecting through the encouragement of the people. And there's a reason why we're called to do that. Spur one another on. What exactly does it mean to spur one another on towards love and good deeds? Well, we got to deal with that word spur. The only other time you see this word used is in Acts 15:39, when Paul and Barnabas have such a sharp disagreement that they parted company. They had the same sharp disagreement. Well, Strong Concordance defines the word dispute or contention. And the point here being that spurring someone on towards love and good deeds is not a passive action. It's passionate. It has a purposeful action. There's a reason for it. And you do it because it needs to be done. And if you've ever forced to get it moving, you've got a good idea what's going on in this passage. Not that I'm going to get any spurs and take them to you, because I think you need to be encouraged. That there are times in our life where we need a little extra help to get moving. Sometimes life is hard, and we need a good spurring, you know. Believers, we need to move towards Christ-centered love and good works. We also need to help others avoid a stagnant life of faith, isolated from the community. It can be convenience and chaos of the 21st century, can't it? I mean, let's face it, a lot of people I talk to, I'm going to watch church online from now on. Never get to encourage one another that way. And if you're like me, it's like streaming shows. I get into it, and suddenly I'm here. Or go to the bathroom. Or turn the channel. Or did Al go to fall to sleep? Nobody cares. Here, you better stay awake or Kirby's going to come find you, right? I'm not against those who are watching online. But if you can, come to church. You got to gather. Because it's too easy to get disowned in this world. You need each other. So that's where we say, don't give up. Remember in the scripture, he said, don't give up. Dash. There are long stretches of relative ease and enjoyment followed by adversity, despair, and moments. That's life, isn't it? Some of it's all day that way. It's up and down, up and down. And this race is long enough over again. Even those whose faith in Christ, even those of us and that he's our Savior, are not immune to the pitfalls of life, are we? Just because you've become a Christian, it doesn't stay easy. There are some more difficulty, not less. And there are people with us today who are immersed in incredibly trying seasons of adversity, who are dealing with loss. And if that is you, I want to encourage you, don't give up. You're not alone. And thank you for being here today. And I hope you find encouragement from these people. David, weeping may remain for a night, but rejoicing comes in the morning. In other words, this season in your life, it won't last forever. This too will pass. One of the reasons we gather together is to encourage those who are hurting and to keep pressing on. Together, we remember there is a light, even when we can't seem to find that light. It's there, and we need to be reminded of that. Our passage from Hebrews says that there are some who have not meeting together. Now, I know many of you understand the idea of habit. How many of you got bad habits? Everybody raise your hand. You all got bad habits. But I mean, really, how many days does it take to break a habit? We know that. How many days does it take to create a new one? We know that. The word translated habit here is the word ethos in the original language. It also means custom or right. It sounds an awful lot of sense. The English translation, however, in Webster says it's the distinguishing character, sentiment, moral nature, or guiding principles of a person, group, or institution. Did you catch that? That's the world's definition, not the biblical one. Yet it's so right on it. What Hebrews is saying is that some have made it their custom gathering together. It's become your habit, your custom, what you are. It defines you as someone who doesn't gather. Our one defining characteristic is that we meet together, isn't it? When you tell people you're a Christian, what's the first thing they want to know? Where do you go to church? And if you say, well, I don't go to church. They say, well, what kind of Christian are you? You have to identify a body if you're not there. There are many reasons why we come together, and we're going to explore them through these next 4 weeks. But I want to be clear about something here. For all, it's deeper than that. We gather because that's who we are. That's who we are. Step, when things don't go our way, when we're confused, frustrated, and anger, we join others in fellowship and we spur one another on towards love. Everybody in this room is going to face hard times if you're not facing it now. And we're here to help each other through that. It's what we do. So that means we should do it more. We should gather more, not less. Do you know what the average attendance is in America of a Christian who considered a regular attender? 1.3. Now, I don't know how you get 0.3. I guess you come to church and leave early. But so one time a month is considered a regular attender in our society. One time. That's 12 times a year. And they can be considered regular attending. For just a minute. If you spend your whole life thinking you were an antelope, and one day you learn that you're actually a lion, wouldn't you want to learn about life as a lion? And as you learned, Wouldn't it be reasonable to think that every day you would look, sound, smell, and be more like a lion than an antelope? Wouldn't it also be weird to see that same lion going back to the antelope life after tasting the alternative? I mean, who wants to eat like an antelope? Wouldn't you want to just continue to eat like a lion? I'm not a vegetarian. Lion wins. But isn't it also weird to see professing Christians behave in a way that seems contrary? Isn't it reasonable to think that as a person grows deeper in faith and understanding of Jesus and his bride, that they would want to spend more time with others who as well, who believe in your Savior and the life of living a Christian than it would be living with the people in the world? Together, then it makes sense why this passage in Hebrews says we should do it all the more as we see the day approaching. I think most of us in the room today would agree. More spurring on to love and good deeds, not less. More of the bride of Christ, not less. We need to spend more time acting like lions, not less. As we wrap up our time today, I want to share with you a few verses from Matthew 24. And in this chapter, Jesus talks about the end of time. Just 10 through 13 in Matthew 24, where he says, "At that time, many will turn away from the faith." They had faith at one time, but they're going to turn away. "And they will betray. False prophets will appear and deceive many people. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. But the one who stands firm to the end will." Did you see that? Do you understand what he's saying? Every day that passes is a day closer to the. And as Jesus warned, with an increase of wickedness comes a decrease in love for one another. And our society has definitely had an increase in wickedness, does it not? Constantly hearing about children being hurt, abused, killed. We're constantly hearing of sex traffic, shootings. I mean, Chicago, 4th of July weekend, 19 people killed and 100 shot in one weekend. It could really be hard to keep your faith in the midst of all this, couldn't it? When you see it's so hard to hold on to your faith. But that's where we need each other more and more. We need to encourage one another more and more as it gets. It's so unbelievably important that we commit to meeting together. It's not a stretch to say that for many of us, it's a matter of living or dying. We need encouragement. We need to be spurred on to love and good deeds. We won't survive in isolation. You need each other. And in response to this message, I want to ask you to do two things. I want you to commit to fellowship. Commit to spending time together with the people of this church. Commit to it. And when we have events, come. Encourage one another. Is to plan something where people will gather and fellowship, and you're looking forward to seeing people laughing and eating together and fellowshipping. It's hard. You know what encourages me? When you come to church. Church. And I mean all of you, even you knuckleheads. I'm glad to see all of you here more. I'd like to know and be encouraged more, and I'd like for it to be encouraging that you are encouraged when you see your friends come to church. I'm praying and encouraging one another today. We're going to dismiss here shortly because I know you're getting hungry because I am. We're going to dismiss here shortly. Talk to one another. Maybe go to lunch together. I believe one of the most important reasons we gather together is for encouragement. We're fine is found at the foot of the cross, isn't it? Together. Because you look and you think, people, no matter what, male and female, we're all the same when it comes to the blood of Jesus and our need for that. Real encouragement in knowing that you're not alone at the foot of the cross. your brothers and sisters in Christ are all gathering, that you've all been washed clean. Don't you find that to be incredible? Whatever you've done, you've been washed clean, just like the person sitting next to you. Because you're baptized into Christ and you've received the Holy Spirit. And now you can encourage one another, even when life throws you curveballs. Do you need that encouragement today? Do you need to know that you're a part of the family of God? Then come forward, confess Him as Lord, be baptized into Christ, and receive that hope that He is Lord, that He loved you enough to die for you. If that won't give you encouragement, nothing will. What do we need to do with that? What would bring you encouragement? Hopefully it's just looking around. See, loneliness at Real Life Christian Church is a choice you make. You choose to isolate your believers. And then you can feel awful lonely. You don't have to go through life alone. You have all who want to hug you. I mean, who doesn't want a Sandy Perry hug every once in a while, you know? Yourself alone. Today's a day for you to throw your arms up and say, Lord, I'm here. Help me to find that encouragement. If you're watching online and you're feeling discouraged, and you can come back. Find that encouragement, I promise you. If you've got friends who are sitting on the fringes, go get them. Tell them to come and be encouraged. People who regretted going to church. Matter of fact, before I was a Christian, I would miss it when we didn't go. I needed that encouragement. But it starts with a choice to choose Jesus over the society of this world, to choose His love. Isn't that what we all want? Don't you want to be like nothing else in this world? Don't you want somebody to love you enough that they would die for you? Well, that's Jesus. And He loves you enough to get up out of that grave. In heaven for you. So let's give it to Him and find that encouragement as we stand and sing.
How great the gap between us, how high the mountain I could not climb. In death I turned to heaven and spoke your name into the night. Darkness, your loving kindness tore through the shadows of my soul. The book is finished, the end is written. Jesus Christ, my living. Who could imagine so great a mercy, such boundless grace? The God of ages stepped down from glory and bear my shame. The cross has spoken, I am forgiven. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Hallelujah. Set me free. Hallelujah. Death has lost. lost its grip on me. You have broken nation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope.
Hey, you all already won 90% of the battle. You came to church today. Thank you for coming and worshiping with us. Hey there, if you are visiting with us today, stop out there. Everybody else, thank you. It's an honor for me to be here at Real Life Christian Church and to do the things I do, because we need each other. Pray for me, and I'll pray for you. How's that? All right. I'll be up here for a few minutes afterwards. If you need to talk to me, just feel free to let me know, because we can't help you if you don't let us know. And we're glad to help. We just need you to let us.
Your heads with me. Dear God, thank you so much for today, and thank you for this service that you gave us, that we can just learn more about you and we can praise and worship you. World, this week, just be with us as we spread your message and we try to be the best we can be in your name. So just thank you for all of that and be with us. Thank you. Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise the one who set me free. Death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name.